We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Royals playback tonight at 7 as well here on 610 Sports Radio. Royals at White Sox, September 26th of 2014. Ryan hates when I give you a spoiler, but the Royals clinched a postseason berth.
What the hell?
So you might want to way to ruin it, Josh. Tonight at 7 here on 610 Sports Radio. Beginning Tuesday next week, we're going to have the Royals 5-year reunion. Catch up with a bunch of players from the 2015 team each and every Tuesday and Thursday, 8:30. On the show Tuesdays and Thursdays in June, right here on Fesco in the Morning. That's our only deadline, too, June.
Yes, that is it.
It's not bad to be a true deadline for baseball. There's a deadline. We're going to have it the next Tuesday to start the Royals' five-year reunion. So you're going to love a bunch of the stories a bunch of the players have of that fantastic season. And, again, it begins on Tuesday at 8:30. And, again, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8:30, here on 610 Sports Radio.
Did you guys go to your high school reunions?
No.
I have not, no. Kind of catch up with the people I catch up with, but I have not gone to a reunion.
I've not dabbled in that, no. My sister-in-law met her husband, actually, at our 10-year high school reunion. Apparently,
your sister-in-law met her husband at her 10-year reunion.
I guess they never liked each other. No, I guess they never even knew each other, really, in high school. Mm.
Do they really still have reunions, what, with Facebook and all?
Yeah, yeah. My classes had them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that we're happening, but I'm 1,000 miles away.
Yeah, they're always at weird times, too, that I can never get there.
I have my 20-year reunion this year. Nobody's invited me.
Oh, well, maybe they're not having one, though, Ryan, but with COVID and all.
It could be, too.
No. We're in Independence. We don't know about COVID.
Okay. That's fine.
Got really drunk at one of my wife's reunions, but I've never been to one of
I went to one of my wife's reunions.
Who do you think is going to get really drunk at this Royals 5-year reunion?
Oh, that's a good question.
Gomes?
Yeah, that's the one.
Other than that,
Ryan, why are you just thinking of this now? This should have involved drinking in these interviews.
That'd Omar Infante, who nobody remembered, was on that team.
Yeah. I totally forgot. Josh and I were talking about it before the show because ESPN came out with the top 10 bus draft picks of the last 10 years or whatever it was, and Christian Colon was listed as one of the busts, and so was Bubba Starling, which I can get behind the Bubba Starling one being listed as a bust because, really hasn't done much. But the Christian Colon one, the guy was involved in two of the biggest plays in Royals history.
That doesn't mean that he lived up to his draft stock.
Without Christian Colon, who knows if the Royals are world champs if they win the wild card? I'm not going to sit here and rewrite history about what happened. I know Christian Colon was a vital part of the two biggest moments, arguably, in the last 40 years of Royals baseball, 30 years of Royals baseball. I can't look at Christian Colon and say he was a bust. And I mentioned to Josh, I said, was Christian Colon ever really given the opportunity to be the everyday second baseman? Because I don't feel like he was ever given that opportunity. I feel like he was always, I don't want to say typecast or looked at as just a backup guy, because they always seemingly were bringing in other players instead of Christian Colon, much like they did with Whit Merrifield at the beginning there too. Remember where Whit didn't make the roster coming out of spring training, then eventually got on the roster. They were looking for anybody and everybody else to play that second base position other than Whit Merrifield, and he's turned into one of the best players in all of baseball. And Christian Colon, while he never became that everyday player, I wonder, was he truly given that opportunity? Because you had Omar Infante, then you went out and got Ben Zobrist, and then Whit Merrifield kind of came onto the scene. And Christian Colon, to me, was like always that odd man out. Now, the flip side is if he played well enough and forced himself into the lineup, he would have been in the lineup. But, to sit here and call him a bust, I think is the wrong term to use. Did you get enough out of him? No. But when he was tasked to be involved in big moments, that dude came through.
Yeah.
That dude
came through. 125 games in his four-year career with the Royals. You know what I mean? So, yeah. He left you one more. But did he get an opportunity? And I won't say not, but did you throw him out there for 162 and see what he could
do?
No,
could do.
That
never
happened.
Did that. Right.
Never happened. So, yeah. Did you get a full picture? No.
No.
But, sometimes you don't need to. I don't need to have you play 162 just to prove you can to see. But
right.
But did he, if you're asking the question, no, he didn't. I mean, no, he never got a steady dose of playtime.
And then what happened to Omar Infante late in the 2015 season? Did he get injured and just like kind of disappear? Because honest to God, Josh and I are looking at it, like, who played second base in 2015 for the Royals? And we look at it, like, Omar played there that year? But because you remember the end, you remember Ben Zobrist, then you remember Whit Merrifield coming in and being the second baseman. You don't really remember that Omar Infante was there. Then we go, oh, yeah, that was the year he was hitting 220. We had the Vote Omar campaign to get him into the All-Star game. And then, like, after that, he didn't make a postseason appearance. He only played 120 games that year, like, so the last 40 games of the year. Where was Omar? Was he on the disabled? I just don't remember what happened because he wasn't released until June of 2016 by the Kansas City Royals. So did he just go away for a while? Did they just kind of make him disappear? I don't remember anything about
over there.
Once they got Ben Zobrist, I remember nothing about Omar Infante.
Omar Infante started at second base essentially exclusively. I'm trying to look at a couple. It's like Colon may have gotten one or two starts outside of that. Probably about five. So we got a handful of starts, but outside of that, Infante started at second base all the way up until Friday, August 14th. Then Ben Zobrist was the
second
baseman.
That's when Gordo came back.
Infante,
Ben Zobrist was acquired.
Infante
Gordo
went,
was hurt.
Went back
he went to the outfield.
Yeah, Infante went back to second base for about a week, then Zobrist, and it kind of bounced back and forth, and then Zobrist finished out the rest of the season, and Christian Colon.
So that's how it went down.
Yeah.
He did
and now you
play
know
a lot
the rest
more
of the
than
story.
You remember.
Then
though.
You remember 2015 because he wasn't involved at all in the postseason.
Good thing we have baseball reference here to remind us.
We will not be catching up with Omar Infante as part of the 5-year reunion. We could safely say that, right? But
that's
you're
right.
going to enjoy a bunch of the interviews that we're going to have beginning on next Tuesday and Thursday, 8:30 here on 610 Sports Radio. It's going to be a bunch of fun, a bunch of great stories from a bunch of Royals players, current and. Now passed, but still always welcome, right?
That's right.
This was a tweet sent out by WIP in Philadelphia. And it has been a question that's been bouncing around sports quite a bit. And I'm not sure why. I don't need the question, right? What will a championship mean to you this year? Take out whatever sport plays. What will a championship mean to you this year? It'll mean the same, it'll mean less. I mean, more? Championship's a championship. I feel like the watering down of seasons or the concern about a watering down of seasons, certainly not in football because we're not there yet, but baseball playing less games or the NBA playing a tournament or hockey playing a tournament, is that going to make a lesser championship in people's minds? For me, it wouldn't. I'd take it if my team had it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm on any other spot than – no, it's going to, I guess if those are my two options, it's going to mean the same. But it certainly, to me, won't mean any less. I'm not devaluing any kind of title this year.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Even if someone plays a tournament.
No, I don't think
you should. Tournament champs? No, they're the season champs. That's how the season concluded.
Right.
So I'm good. Are you any different spot on this one?
No, I think we've talked about this right from the beginning when it became, a crutch by sports writers and talk show hosts to say, well, is the championship as good this year as it is in another year's, call us now and let us know your thoughts. Like, ultimately, to me, if you win a championship in any year of professional sports or collegiate sports at that level for that matter, you're going to enjoy that championship, and you still won that championship. It's not the athlete's fault. It's not the team's fault, you know, that things are different this year. We all know, as you've been saying, Josh, we all know things are different this year. We all know 2020 has been a dumpster fire, okay? Everybody knows that this thing has been a mess since basically the Chiefs won the Super Bowl and we've been in these COVID times. Everybody knows things are going to be different, but that doesn't devalue a championship at all. You still have to go out there and earn it. And some may say it may be harder in hockey this year to earn a championship than it is in a normal season, because you've played that regular season, then you had a 2-month break or whatever it is, and then you're back to a tournament style where any team can win on any given night, any matchup that happens that maybe not be a good matchup for
you. It'll mean more.
Yeah, which that's what I'm saying. Could mean more, right? The NBA, if you have to battle through a tournament style, or Major League Baseball. Like Major League Baseball right now, if you only end up playing an 82-game season, it doesn't really give you the ability to mess up. You basically do have to play good from day one to day 82. You don't have the opportunity to have a bad month. You really don't have an opportunity either, Josh, if you suffer a big-time injury, to kind of get through that injury and say, oh, he'll be back in a month. You may be already out of the postseason if it gets to that point in time with an 82-game season. So I just don't think you devalue a championship. I don't think you need to use an asterisk or anything like that next to championships this year in professional sports or collegiate sports. We all know what happened, and a championship's still a championship. If the Royals end up winning the championship this year in baseball, you better believe we're having a parade and we're flying flags and we're celebrating the fact that they won a championship. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If your NBA team wins a championship, your NHL team wins a championship, you're having a parade, you're hanging a banner, and you're enjoying that championship because you won the championship that was awarded during that season, regardless of how you got there. And I can make the case it's harder now to win a championship.
College sports is in for a big year ahead. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in Thursday edition, Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler. Ryan Witkowski back at our studios today.
Hello.
We discussed a little bit earlier, Dennis Dodd had a piece at CBSSports.com about what's ahead in college sports and the year ahead for college sports, and a couple of economist types saying that they're in for a tough year ahead and changes could be afoot.
Yep.
And maybe even going their separate ways in terms of the haves and have-nots in college sports.
A lot of people are talking about that now, Josh, and a lot of people are suggesting that. I'm wondering if the big boys will ever actually pull the trigger on that and decide, you know what, now is the time and we are going to do our own thing. I think we're to that point, man. I really do. I think we're to that point where we've seen what happened with the loss of the NCAA tournament. We've seen where colleges can't figure out how to balance their budget. We've seen, you know, everybody having to take pay cuts in college sports as well as everywhere. But, I mean, the college thing is the one that has really kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I'm looking at what they're doing. I'm like, how can missing a tournament force all of you to be bankrupt? So I think now is the time where the big boys are going to say we wouldn't be bankrupt if we weren't using the money that we should be getting to fund your program.
It is crazy to think about, because yes, you missed a tournament, okay? You missed a basketball tournament, and then since that time, you have all these sports that don't make you any money,
right?
Right. So really, what you've lost is a basketball tournament, and then a bunch of sports that are not money generators, and you're out of cash.
But there's also a lot of schools that aren't money generators.
And you're canceling sports. You're, as you mentioned, you're slashing budgets within your athletic departments, all because of really a tournament.
Right.
You're not spending any money on stuff you were spending money on before. But the finances seem like way off.
And I think, like, if let's say I'm the University of Texas. Okay.
Now, some of the smaller schools, you're absolutely right, that are funded differently than say the big boys, who are operating on basically the athletic department funding's on a different system than like the school funding. You know, at lower levels, student fees help fund some sports.
A lot of that stuff.
I get that. There are no kids aren't on campus. There's no student fees.
Right.
There's no student fees. There's no money to place towards athletics. I can understand how some of those programs have cut sports because their funding mechanism is gone.
But their funding mechanism for a lot of those universities too, though, Josh, are places like the University of Texas in football, where you're going to get $350,000 to go get beat at Daryl Royal Memorial Stadium on a Saturday afternoon, or your basketball program goes on a 12-game road trip to start the season where you tour the Midwest and you're getting $100,000 to get beat by Kansas and Kansas State and, you know, play Missouri and things of that nature. Like, your budgets are based on your football program getting their brains beat in the first 3 weeks of the season and your basketball program getting their brains beat in for the first, you know, 10 to 12 games of the season, and that's how you fund your entire athletic department. And I think the big boys right now, and like I said, if I'm the University of Texas, why do I want to pay $350,000 to kick the teeth in of some lower school when I can use that $350,000 and keep my baseball program afloat? Or I can use that $100,000 to keep my softball program afloat or to keep the track and field department running strong. So I think you're going to see these big boys say, you know what, we've reached the point where we're quite honestly – we're tired of writing checks for games, and we're tired of basically keeping you afloat, because without these money games, a lot of athletic departments at these smaller universities and lower conferences would not be able to stay afloat.
So they got a tough year ahead with a lot of tough decisions. We've already seen some being made, and it's going to be far from over in the collegiate ranks. You discussed this a bit on the latest Agents Confidential podcast with Jim Chapman. What
right.
did you guys get to in terms of the NCAA? He is an agent, of course, that deals with a lot of professional athletes, but coming out of the college ranks,
yeah.
He's very, very in tune to some of the stuff that's been happening for a lot of years.
Well, yeah, and he's got a lot of clients that are college football coaches, and obviously a lot of clients that play in the NFL and coaches that coach in the NFL. So he's got clients all over the football world. And one of the things we were discussing yesterday was the difference between the haves and the have-nots. But Jim says it's not even the difference between the haves and the have-nots that's coming out right now during this COVID times. It's the difference between the haves and the really haves.
The big schools, the Ohio States of the world, I talked to a guy on, you know, one of the coaches on the staff. I mean, you know, they have so much money that they're literally sending power racks and full weight equipment, full gyms, you know, power rack, weights, Olympic bar, enough weights to do what they need to do to every athlete they have. Every football player gets that. Thousands of dollars and shipping and an equipment cost. I mean, even the Oklahoma States can't do that. A lot of the, you know, it's just, you know, Alabama's doing it. Georgia's doing it. Florida's been sending their players equipment, supplements, you know. So, do they really need to? But on the other hand, that's where we have the separation of power, because the MAC, they're already worried about if they can even test their players or even feed their players for the 4 or 5 weeks that they have to get them implemented into the strength conditioning program.
Sending weight sets to players.
How about that? Places like Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, they've got so much money.
Here's your stuff.
They're sending weight sets
at home
to all of their players to make sure that they're doing workouts at home.
Oh, nice.
And that's the have-haves. And then you have, like, other schools that are potentially in the Big Ten as well. Let's use your alma mater, Iowa. Do they have enough money to be sending full weight sets to every one of their players?
I hope so.
You know?
I certainly hope so.
Does Rutgers? Does Minnesota?
Let's get on this thing if you're not.
Right? Like so there's a huge separation not only between the bottom feeders of your conference, but then a huge separation between the Big Five conferences, the Power Five conferences, and the MAC conferences. I mean, right now what we're seeing in college sports with this coronavirus pandemic that's going on is truly just a separation of everybody, and there's no rules in place. It's the wild, wild west. Nobody's ever been like this before, so these programs that have money are shipping weight sets to their players to get ready for the season. And meanwhile, guys are, you know, running around trash cans at some of these smaller schools just trying to stay in shape.
Check out more with the Agents Confidential podcast. It's part of the 435 Podcast Network. Go to 610sports.com or via the radio.com app to download. Always an interesting conversation about various things surrounding sports and a lot of NCAA discussion.
Yeah, a lot of NCAA discussion.
This most recent episode.
And some NFL discussion as well, and some reasons why Jim believes the NCAA is fraudulent and may be done for good.
Big story coming up, and Witt even agrees this shouldn't have been public. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We'll hear from Whit Merrifield, none too happy that baseball's publicly fighting. We'll decide what number is an okay number to live with. We'll discuss that coming up. Good job by the GM, and good job by one NFL player. We'll discuss coming up in the next 30 minutes. Time now for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Big story brought to you by Novel Place Senior Living in Overland Park in Blue Springs, a novel choice in senior living.
I want to tell you about a bizarre break-in at a bank in San Diego.
Yes, order for Hot Pocket.
You broke into a bank for a Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket.
Well, officers were called to a Wells Fargo bank after a burglar alarm had gone off early yesterday morning in San Diego, California. The alarm company told police surveillance cameras inside the branch captured a man in the break room using the microwave. As officers arrested him outside, the man told the news crew that he entered the bank just so he can heat up his hot pocket.
Was it worth it?
Hell yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it. A hot pocket? Hell yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Hot Pockets.
Man arrested breaks in a bank to use the microwave to heat up his hot pocket.
Hot Pocket? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Why not just go to a gas station where they have a dirty microwave? Hell, you can stick that thing in and microwave it there instead of breaking into a bank. Heat up your hot pocket. I mean, like, seriously, why wouldn't you go somewhere else other than a bank to try to heat up your hot pocket? Like, if I'm listing places where I could go to heat up my hot pocket, I don't know that the bank ever makes the top 10. I don't know that the bank ever gets on that list of being in the top 10 of places to go to heat up a hot pocket.
I see people heating up stuff at Quick Trip all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Go to a gas station. They got plenty of dirty microwaves where you can stick your hot pocket.
Does San Diego not have 24-hour gas stations? Because this happened in, like, the middle of the night.
Well, I'm sure they do. I mean, I wouldn't understand why they wouldn't. But then to go to a bank, I mean, why not, like, an apartment building or a gas station or a hospital where you can walk in? I mean, you can walk into the hospital and say, hey, can I use your hot pocket?
I don't know the law here, but is breaking into a bank breaking into a bank?
I mean, it's breaking and entering regardless of
what your intent is. That's a bank.
He didn't steal anything, though. He was just trying to heat up his hot pocket, Josh. Cut the man some slack.
I hope so. I hope he is.
If anything, he left the alluring aroma of a hot pocket in the bank.
You know, I've always said about bank robbers, you never hear from them again.
No, you really don't.
Someone robs a bank, you never hear. I don't know where these people go, but they are taken care of.
Replace them.
I don't think you ever walk in the street and go, hey, once upon a time I robbed a bank. Let me tell you a story about it. Because those people aren't around.
Yeah.
They just disappear.
They do.
I want to make sure this guy doesn't just disappear just because he's heating up a hot pocket in a bank.
Yeah, no, and I think ultimately, you know, for this guy's sake, try the lean pocket.
The Philly cheesesteak lean pocket.
Gross.
No, the Philly cheesesteak lean pocket
gross.
Is trim.
But I can do a hot pocket.
That's
I can do a hot pocket. A lean pocket's terrible.
The pepperoni and meatball one, terrific.
When was the last time you pulled the hot pocket out of that cardboard sleeve, took a bite into it, didn't burn the roof of your mouth, and then on the next bite, freeze the roof of your mouth?
Every time I eat a hot pocket, that's what I'm saying.
I cut it apart. I initially do it, and then you cut it apart, and you put it back in the microwave, so the middle gets done.
Yeah. Then the crust is soggy.
Yeah, no, it usually
Why are you guys having such problems with your hot pockets? Just heat them up and get them
because
nice and hot, and then let them sit there. That's the same rule with pizza rolls. You don't eat them right when they come out of the microwave or the toaster oven.
Nobody's ravished when they heat up a hot pocket. They need to eat right away.
The problem with the hot pocket is I keep going back for more and knowing it sucks.
Why do you keep going back for more? Like, what possesses you to go to the hot pocket aisle and go, I need these?
Convenience.
The kids wanted hot pockets.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. So bought the big box, right?
How many comes
Costco
in the big box?
Yes, the big box.
How many comes in that, like 12?
I don't know. No, it feels like it's probably.
Is it a variety like pack, or do you get that horrible cheddar and, this was and one flavor. Broccoli one?
This was ham and cheese, which is fine. Ham and cheese is my favorite.
Ham and cheese is, yeah, it's a solid choice.
But literally, the kids ate like one each and never touched it again.
The
and
kids so, didn't even like it. So now you have 10 Hot Pockets.
So it was my mission. Like, I got to
finish
this box.
You can't let them go to waste.
And so there would be times you go down and open the freezer like, ugh, I don't know. Fine, give me a Hot Pocket.
Why is my this, dirty microwave.
And then every time we'd
so
have it, I'm like,
this
is
this Hot Pocket cool off. I just can't get past that.
And then you make it, and you're like, no.
It's never satisfying.
No, it really isn't.
I mean, the Jim Gaffigan stand-up bit on the Hot Pocket is dead on. Yeah. It's dead on.
I love Hot Pockets. They've never given me a case of the bubble
I'll take
guts.
The Hot Pocket and a roll of toilet paper, please.
And
like,
then,
like,
no, Ryan, for
is
some
so
reason,
good.
I don't know what it is. When you make a Hot Pocket, you're really desperate for something quickly.
You really are,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah. You're otherwise, in a pinch.
Otherwise,
you're not
you take
eating
the time,
that if you have time.
You take the time to have something better.
Right, or there's nothing else in the house.
The problem is you're like, oh, fine, I'll have a Hot Pocket. And then, so you want it right away, and so then you want to eat it right
then
away.
Because you're starving.
Super hot.
Right,
yes.
It all has a trickle-down effect. That's where the trickle-down effect started from with the Hot Pocket. You make the Hot Pocket because you have nothing else and you're starving. So you heat it up, and as soon as it's done, because you're starving and had nothing else, you eat it right away, therefore burning the roof of your mouth, then freezing the roof of your mouth, then burning the roof of your mouth yet again, and going, why did I just eat this?
Hot Pocket, hell you.
Too stupid for the Hot Pocket.
By the way, the guy was homeless. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Didn't really happen.
Yeah,
he was homeless. He didn't have.
He did say he was homeless and hungry, which
that's
terrible.
That changes the whole story.
But
that changes the whole story?
Still, don't go to a bank. I don't think the bank's not a smart place to go. Go to a convenience store.
Yeah, go to the gas
station.
Nuking
this for
bet.
Me real quick, I guess.
Maybe if you got it near the ATM.
If you carried a Hot Pocket into a convenience store at 3:15 a.m. and like, can I use your microwave? The person working there is going to go, yeah.
The person not even going to know.
You think he could eat
if you took the time to actually ask them, they'd be like, yeah, do whatever you want.
Sure, use my dirty microwave.
Yeah,
You think you could eat a frozen Hot Pocket?
That would be called a frozen pocket then.
It's the frozen
pocket. Frozen pockets.
No, because they're when the portion the cold portion's cold, it's equally
it's
bad.
Awful. It's terrible. You bite into that frozen broccoli that's wedged in there.
What are you doing buying the broccoli one?
Yeah, I never had the broccoli one.
What are you doing?
There was a phase there. I went with the lean pocket.
Yeah.
But even so, you bite a piece of frozen ham. You ever bite into frozen cheese?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I've bitten the frozen cheese before.
You're leave your teeth marks in.
I'm with
thing.
The 816 on this one too. There. I'm shocked Josh didn't buy the generic Hot Pocket. That's
warm pockets.
Do they have them?
Warm pockets of meat with cardboard slide.
Warm wallets is what they're called.
Do they have generic Hot Pockets?
Yeah, the warm
How
wallet.
Much worse could they be?
I assure you they have. They have a
There's
warm wallet.
There probably is a version.
No, but honestly, how more generic can you get than the Hot Pockets? What could you possibly do that's different?
They have generic versions.
Raise D meat?
They don't give you the sleeve, maybe? I don't know.
BYOS? Bring your own sleeve? Or wrap it in a paper towel and sprinkle some water on the top to try to get that thing crusty?
Pizza Pockets? That looks delicious.
Yeah, but that's not a generic. That's still from the Hot Pocket family.
Well, they have... No, it's not. It's a different company altogether. Some organic
company. Oh, it is?
Company. Yeah, Great Value. The fine people at Walmart making
okay,
Hot Pocket.
What's it called? What's it called?
Great Value has a Hot Pocket?
Let me look here.
The Great Value Warm Pocket?
Great Value Filled Sandwiches.
There
I like warm wallet better. I don't
know. Had I known that was a thing, I might have.
Filled sandwiches? Sure. I'm not going with that. That
sounds terrible.
That's Hot a warm
pocket.
Wallet, though.
Hot Pocket
sure.
sounds like it's got a chance to not be terrible.
Yeah. A warm, what is it again called? Filled sandwiches?
Filled sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
That sounds terrible.
How are we going to market this one, Jim? I don't know. Let's call them filled sandwiches, Bob. Okay.
Just put them next
filled
to
filled sandwiches?
Just put them next to the Hot Pockets. People will get it.
Oh, my goodness.
Stack it the same area.
Filled what do you want sandwiches. Today, a Hot Pocket or a filled sandwich? I'm not touching a filled sandwich.
Filled
but I'll try
sandwiches.
That. I'll eat
filled
a Hot
sandwich.
Pocket.
Hot Pockets.
What kind of meat is in the filled sandwich?
This one has pepperoni.
It's the same. Come on.
Would you like
stuff.
Me to look up the filled sandwiches?
The
what you
they probably fine. Use Provel in those things, too.
Just fine.
I wonder what flavors they have filled.
Well,
sandwich.
Not many. They won't. They'll have. They'll probably stay in the pepperoni and the ham and cheese, and that's probably about it. They don't have the broccoli version, Bob. No chance.
No.
They don't have the broccoli version of the filled sandwich.
No. I picture it like stuff with gummy bears and like Oreos. Here you go. Here's a filled sandwich. It's melted gummy bears, man. Like, what the hell?
I think it is like nails and screws. Or what? What do you think this is? No, generic. What's
just
it fine.
Filled with? It's got some of that old Roy we found in the back.
And you know, I defend the generics. I'm sure this generic is just fine, just as crappy as the real Hot Pocket.
Got some Alpo and old Roy. Here's a filled sandwich.
11 grams of protein in one of those.
Good for
sandwiches.
Pooch and owner. Oh, there's no fancy feast in that filled sandwich.
Pete. Ham and cheese and pepperoni and cheese.
What do they call the generic Uncrustables? Crust-free sandwiches?
Could be.
Great value. Crust-free sandwiches. Using generic jellies and jams. Not that there's anything wrong. Not that there's anything wrong with a generic, but if something's marketing itself in the frozen food aisle called filled sandwich, I'm out.
Replace them.
Yeah, it looks like it was a 15-pack. I don't know. I took a victory lap after that thing was done.
How long did it take?
With a rock hard hot pocket in my gut, but I took a victory lap on it.
Josh is walking around, looks like a hernia. No, that's the hot pocket.
We're finishing this box.
You ever see someone with a hernia that thing's protruding? That wasn't a hernia.
It was a hot pocket.
3 days later, it went down, but it was still there. It looked nasty.
Hot pocket, yeah.
Like that gremlin was going to break out of your stomach.
The 15 count. Yeah,
$1.64 for two filled sandwiches.
It's a good deal.
It's a great deal. It's a great value.
Filled. Yeah, it is a great value. As the name would say.
How long did it take you to go through that 15 pack of Hot Pockets?
I didn't check the expiration date, but probably
so a while.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean,
there's
like
a lot of 5-star reviews on Walmart's website for the filled sandwich.
Generic's probably good.
This one, 5-star review, the heading is Pocket Full of Tastiness.
That's a better than filled sandwich.
Bacon Lover 14 writes, they're not just as good as name brand, they're better. Generous amounts of thin sliced pepper. This guy is like the Gordon Ramsay of food.
Loves it.
Plenty
loves
of melty it. Cheese, buttery crust, cooks more evenly there and easily. Go. Already in the pouch to cook in, just tear one end open and pop it out of the microwave.
My goodness, he should be.
Oh, you don't have to try to slide it in that pouch. You never get it right. You're always sliding it in the wrong end.
That's how they cut the cost. They've gotten rid of that stupid pouch. It doesn't really work anyway.
Right. Try to stick that thing in the wrong end.
That's how you go with a filled sandwich. No pouch. Just cook it.
Like every time you plug something in, you always have the prongs the wrong way. You always got to reverse it. That's the Hot Pocket. You're trying to slide that thing in.
It's no better in that stupid sleeve either than it's just thrown it on a paper plate.
I don't understand this review from KK. These taste great. This is the second time.
He's got time.
I have gotten these. Holy hat. And there has been no pepperoni in them.
Oh. I'm sure complained about that for like 25 minutes.
People down in Bentonville, oh boy, here's KK calling in again.
Are we talking about Hot Pockets still?
We're talking about Hot Pockets, yes. Clearly. Clearly Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
There's your big story. We're still on it.
Cut that, please.
All right.
Moving on. I found what's called a supreme stuffer.
Oh, that's the jumbo Hot Pocket?
Someone says they grill their Hot Pockets.
What?
You are putting a lot of work into a terrible food item.
I bet it's better, though.
Here's a gourmet meal.
I bet it's better.
A side of guac and a side of salsa and a grilled Hot Pocket. I bet it is better. No question it's better.
Yeah, because they take the time to actually...
Nothing is good in the microwave.
No. Because, Ryan, you're a pizza roll connoisseur, right?
Oh, absolutely. I put them in the toaster oven, though. I don't play
right,
around.
Right. If you microwave those, terrible. If you oven them, pretty good.
I also hear air fryer is the way to go. I bet an air fryer...
For the Hot Pocket, I bet you for the Hot Pocket, the air fryer would be good.
Hot Pockets!
So what happened? Man broke into a bank? Oh, yeah.
Man broke into a bank.
What if I told you a man broke into a bank to heat up a Hot Pocket and idiots would talk about it for 15 minutes?
A Hot Pocket? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
He was so willing to talk with the reporters. Like, he's in handcuffs.
He was hey, man, he loved it.
You
it
got
was
your
good.
15 minutes. Let's
it
go.
Was good.
Was it worth it?
Hell yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it.
He doubled down.
Hot pocket? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I will cut you for a hot pocket. You don't even know.
Get out of the way. It's a hot pocket.
Royals outfielder Whit Merrifield stopped by Cody and Gold yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio.
Hell
and baseball
yeah.
has been publicly discussing their comeback plan, which hasn't gone well in terms of PR. And Merrifield told the guys, yeah, he's in exact agreement. The public portion of this discussion, the money aspect of this discussion probably shouldn't have been done in the open.
Well, it's extremely frustrating. Cody, that's another point that needs to be made. Is this was not our goal to have this public, because one, it is a game that we play, and as fans should just be concerned with the game and watching the game and enjoying the game and rooting for your team. It's up to us to handle the business behind the scenes. There's an ugly side of the business to this game. And that's, you know, kind of what we're going through now. And we never wanted this to be public. But obviously there's a strategic element to the other side as far as making it public, to sort of put pressure on players and sort of turn fans against players. And so it's just an unfortunate, business strategy. But, yeah, it's frustrating that it is all public, because it's something that needs to be handled behind closed doors, because negotiations are, you know, kind of an ugly process. And it's I really wish all this would have been done privately. It would have made for a much smoother talks, in my opinion.
Now he does throw it back on the owners,
right?
You know, and as we are during this. During this discussion, right, you're batting it back and forth as to who is to blame. It's not to say the players haven't discussed money openly.
And Whit said a couple of things there, Josh. Like, he said they're doing it to get the fans against the players. I don't think that's the case at all. I think the open negotiations have caused fans to be against baseball, not against the players or against the owners. You know, I think obviously you side up, because that's just human nature. You're going to pick one side or the other that you support. Some days I agree with the owner, some days I agree with the players. But I do know that ultimately I'm mad right now that this is taking place, and I'm mad at all of baseball. I'm not more mad at the owners or more mad at the players or, you know, less mad at the owners or less mad at the players. I'm mad equally at both sides that they're both being petulant children about this and arguing this out in public. And that's the difference between Major League Baseball and the National Football League. The NFL has a leader. Roger Goodell has been a leader through all of this. Major League Baseball has not had a leader to lead them through this. If somebody has a leader and you got the head of an organization speaking for everybody, you don't have this kind of stuff. And, you know, the owners really kind of started it all earlier this week by releasing all the information that they released. So the players felt like, well, now we've got to counteract and we've got to release our plan. It's like they're trying to curry public favor on one side or the other, when at the end of the day, the public favor doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what side the public's on. The only thing that matters is that you get a deal done, and ultimately that's how you're going to be judged. If baseball doesn't get played this year, you're not going to see baseball fans sit back and go, well, you know what, I still love baseball, and I'm an owner guy now, and I vote for the – like, what is that? That doesn't do anything. It doesn't do you any good on either side to try to curry public favor. What it does, what does do you good, is to shut up, negotiate behind closed doors, and like we said yesterday, let the white smoke out when you've come to a deal and everybody's happy, and you move on. The only thing this is doing right now is creating animosity amongst your fan base. Because at the end of the day, the owners are going to be fine, the players are going to be fine. The fans want the game. The fans want the sport. The fans want to see baseball play again. And what you're doing right now is not getting people to side one way or the other. You're getting people to be equally mad at both sides.
Now, the latest players' counterproposal, according to reports, is that the players are countering with more games but no pay cut.
Right. They want more games.
We'll play more games if we don't have to take the pay cut.
Which, in turn, should be the owners should go, oh, I like that idea, because more games means more TV, means more money, means more of an opportunity to expose your product to fans. I think if you are Major League Baseball owners, you would look at that and go, oh, all right, you'll play some more games? Okay, we'll put more games
but
on TV.
If there are no fans, are they still going to cry, we can't generate the revenue? We don't want to play more games because we can't generate the revenue if there's no people in the stands. What? Right? I think they've done the math that probably works out in their favor.
Right. But I think also, too, Josh, we
and
have
players
seen...
would want to play more games because they want to get paid their full prorated salary. So we'll play whatever you want. We'll play whatever and at the salary. And that doesn't change the owner's side of things, which is, well, there's nobody in the stands. We need to make some accommodations.
Right. But we've seen all across America where businesses have had to make decisions and to make cuts and have made hard decisions. And I bet you there's a lot of owners of a lot of companies out there right now, nationwide and worldwide, that are taking it in the shorts, that are biting the bullet because it's the right thing to do. For Major League Baseball owners, why isn't it the right thing to do to say, well, I own a team and that, you know what, this year in 2020, that's the cost of doing business. Just because you own a company or a franchise or a business does not guarantee every single year you're going to be printing money and making big-time dollars.
Sports would disagree.
But, right.
But now you're finding out.
So now you're finding what reality is all about. Yeah. And for all these years that you haven't been living in reality, hey, welcome to reality. And it does it stink? Yeah, sure, it sucks, and it sucks for everybody. But you chose to own a Major League Baseball team. This is the climate that we're in. I got to say, I hate to say it, but sucks for you.
The good news is, everybody thinks they're going to play,
right?
Including Whit Merrifield.
I do. I really do feel confident. We, again, like I said, we as players are chomping at the bit to get back on the field. I really do think baseball and ownership feels the same way. They want to get back and play. And if they do feel the same way, and I'm choosing to believe that they do, we'll get something figured out. Obviously, what came out yesterday was not a great first step, but it's, again, that's part of negotiation. Again, I wish it was private, but we're going to talk about it and come back with something that hopefully we can find some common ground and agree to it and get back to playing.
That's the good news. There is nothing that's anything that there's a whiff of, well, they're not going to play. It's just how are they going to manage getting through it? And how they're managing getting through it is through ugly PR both sides.
Right. And look, we have talked about it since day one of this. We said it was going to get ugly, and everything that we said was going to happen has kind of happened on script, Josh, with the way we said this whole thing was going to play out, right? We said it was going to get ugly this week. Did we not tell you that last week that it was going to get ugly? And here it is. It has gotten ugly this week. But it's always darkest before dawn, as they like to say. And I think it's going to get ugly. It may get uglier. But the good news is both sides do understand that it's in their best interest to get out there and play, and both sides ultimately do want to get out there and play and get this thing worked out. Because if they don't get it worked out, baseball more than any other sport is going to carry that stigma that they didn't play because of money. And baseball has kind of done this to themselves. Say what you want about the labor piece that's gone on for the last 26 years, and it's longer than any other sport. Baseball will always have the perception that owners and players can't get along, and there's always going to be labor disputes, labor discussions, and fighting on both sides. There hasn't been a labor dispute in baseball since 1994. Hockey's had multiple. The NBA has had multiple. The NFL locked out 10 years ago. So you have all of these sports that have had labor disputes more recently than Major League Baseball. Yet Major League Baseball is going to carry that stigma that they can't get things done because billionaires and millionaires can't work things out. So not only is baseball trying to overcome COVID, trying to overcome a negotiation right now to change things, they're also overcoming perception that has been laid for the last 50 years in Major League Baseball.
To football, and this is so Cleveland. Free agent defensive end Jadeveon Clowney apparently had a big-time offer made to him, and he said no thanks. Why? Because it was the Browns.
That's right.
That, according to Adam Schefter, who spoke to ESPN Radio in Cleveland, said the Browns made an aggressive offer to Clowney, who balked at going to Cleveland. The offer the Browns made was clearly the best that Clowney has received, but he didn't bite. Why? Because he doesn't want to be a Brown.
How would you like to play for the Browns? I don't know.
I think I'll wait. Ooh.
If you're the Browns right now, man, like I think ultimately, like that team should just be contracted and moved or something, because they're never going to have success. They just aren't. You've got a guy who basically has no other offers out there, and he's turning down an offer with the Browns because, well, it's the Browns, and he probably doesn't want to live in Cleveland.
Yeah,
and
no thanks.
I don't play for the Browns.
Come back that much. I'll find something.
Yeah. How would you like to play for the Browns? No thank you, says Jadeveon Clowney. Who do you have another offer from? Well, I don't have any other offers. I'm not playing for you guys.
I'm just going to wait.
I'll just sit back. I mean, maybe a TV job comes in, or, I don't know, a head coaching job at the high school or something pops, but I am not playing for
or
you.
Or I'm just confident there's going to be something at some point, and it's not you.
In this case, it's you. It's not me.
I'm out. I will get a job in the NFL. It just won't be with you.
Not happening.
I'm just gonna wait.
You.
We're not even towards training camp yet. I think I'll wait.
Right.
Wow. Sucks to be the Browns.
Yeah, it really does. Like, if you're the Cleveland Browns right now and you can't get a guy who doesn't have any other offers to play for you, you need to do some reevaluating and thinking about the way you're running that franchise.
I don't think this would happen in Kansas City. It certainly wouldn't happen from this position in Kansas City, right?
I don't think it happens from any position in Kansas City. Now, I could be wrong and biased, but, man, I just don't feel like this would happen here.
Nick Foles claims nobody recognized him at the NFC championship party.
We go down the highway, and we're like, how are we going to do this? We take a side street. We get a couple streets over from where Del Frisco's is, where Broad is. We find a parking lot. And we park, and we're like, we'll just walk. So I think it was my brother-in-law was with me, Ryan, and I put my hoodie on and my beanie, and I'm walking through the crowd. Not on Broad Street, off of Broad Street, a couple of side streets. I'm walking right next to people wearing my jerseys after we just won the NFC Championship game.
So you're incognito.
Incognito.
Nobody realizes it's you.
And you know what? Like, looking back, because the underdog was the theme, and everyone was wearing dog masks. I should have just got a dog mask. I was not thinking.
Exactly.
But anyway, we made it there. No one recognized us. And we went down in their little bunker area where there, I guess there was a table reserved. And I just got to sit there with probably like a dozen or more friends and family and loved ones. And just, I remember a moment where I'm sitting there, I'm having a glass of wine. And I just took a moment and just sort of embraced it. And was just like, I can't believe what just happened.
Nobody recognized him, though.
That's insane, right?
He walked in the midst of in Philly. Okay.
Right.
We know the crazy level of fandom there.
That's right. Yeah.
Actually rooting for Nick Foles at this point, right?
Well, how do you not know right? What Nick Foles looks like? He's got a distinct look.
Yes, yeah. Kind of stands out.
Yeah.
And he just walks in.
People are wearing his jersey,
yeah.
And he walks by them.
And if he's a backup quarterback at that thing, maybe.
Maybe. You're going to recognize Matt Moore?
No.
Maybe not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Or Chad Henne?
Who?
No.
Yeah.
Probably not. Probably not. But he also didn't lead my team to the
Super Bowl.
To the Super Bowl.
Place we hadn't been
and
in
played
years,
in that game. I think by then he'd be a pretty recognizable figure.
That's right.
And he was able to just...
Yeah, just right in, walking by people wearing his jersey. They had no idea it's Nick Foles.
Good for Nick Foles.
How about that? But in Kansas City, could you imagine Patrick Mahomes walking into a restaurant after the AFC Championship game and just walking in and nobody noticing him?
Nope.
Walking by people in Mahomes jerseys,
Nobody
noticing Patrick Mahomes? That's the difference between Kansas City and every other place to be a sports fan. Here, athletes, maybe to a fault, are appreciated and loved, okay? We will recognize your ass out in public. In Philadelphia, Nick Foles walks in, walks by people wearing his jersey, and doesn't get recognized.
Probably could have worn his jersey, and it wouldn't have been any different.
Probably could have worn his pads, and probably would have just thought it was a fan that was dressed up.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Patrick Mahomes just made an announcement on Twitter.
Uh-oh, we'll get to that next.
Hot Pockets!
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.